This is Joe Costello's WFO Radio.
Ignition.
Covering everything that has wheels, an engine, and a driver.
The reason I race is to get the chicks. You know what I mean?
NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One, sports cars, and NHRA drag racing.
Hey, guys, just want to let you know, WFO rocks.
WFO Radio is total motorsports.
It's just so cool.
Fasten your seatbelts, fire up the ignition, and drop the hammer.
Yeah, let's do it.
Now, here's your host, Joe Costello.
WFO, what's up, everybody? Podcast listeners out there on the WFO Radio mobile app, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts. That's right. This is the show that we have created just for you. As we move into the world of live streaming, we have to keep a reason for you to be on the podcast feed. And the WFO Radio Ignition Show, great entertainment, sports collision, all the fun, wonderful things that we have done over the years continue. And I just want to keep audio only going, because that way I don't have to shave. I don't have to shave, and I didn't shave. And I'm dressed very sloppy. And you don't care about it. And that's exactly the way I want to keep the Ignition Show. And me and Giovanni in Miami are getting together, and Giovanni is joining me from Miami. He hasn't been up here in a long time. Do you remember what it's like to be up here?
Yes, I do, actually.
And you lament the fact that you're not lamenting anything. I'm sure not at all.
The last time I went up there, you put me to work like,
oh, that's
digging
it.
Holes.
The fence. And the fence, it's we're going to have to do that again. We're going to have to do the back fence at one of these points. But I got to go to Home Depot, yada, 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 et cetera, and so on. But I will tell you, since everybody is listening, and now they're very interested in the fence situation, that the fence on the side that we worked on, I have slowly, kind of put it together, because we did the posts, and the posts with the concrete base, they are now dry. Man, it's feeling really solid. That thing is going to take a 200-mile-per-hour hurricane wind like nothing. So good job.
Yeah, great job by me.
Yeah, great job by you. You dug the holes.
How you ran off and, you know, conveniently forgot like some of the stuff that we needed as soon as I got there, so that we wouldn't both have to go to the store.
Why don't we both go to the store?
No, man, you go and I'll just start the work here, and you know, by the time you get back, hopefully I'll have, you know, dug a hole or two or six
or all of them, which turned out to be the case.
Which turned out to be the case, because Joe's quick little, oh my goodness, I made a mistake and we forgot one item, turned into like a 1 hour trip to the store.
Just long enough for you to dig all the holes.
Absolutely.
Now,
some
people would say that that is coincidence. Some people would say it is on purpose, right? Is it Tom Sawyer or Huck Finn who made the people wash the fence? Like, man, why whitewashing this fence is so much fun. You want to do it? Oh, you won't let me do it. Please let me whitewash the fence.
Yep.
It's one or the other. I don't know. We're going to have to look it up, but it doesn't much matter. So, hey, everybody, we're back. WFO Ignition. It's been a couple of weeks. Missed the big Chase Elliott victory because, you know, midweek we had kind of had aspirations of jumping on the air. But here's what's happening with that. When we have John Force, Gary Selzy, all this great stuff, Megan Meyer last week on a Wednesday, you may recall that, Sean Bellemere. We just didn't want to step on any of that greatness with the Ignition Show. And we knew that we were going to be able to connect with you after this most recent race at Bristol, baby. And Brad Keselowski picking up the win, and talk about that, the wild finish, Chase Elliott, mistake under Joey Logano, big crash. That was Bristol, baby. And it was a whole lot of fun. We're going to get into all of that. And Gio and I just have like a little meeting. We had a big pre-show meeting, right? There's a lot. You may or may not know this. There's a lot going on in the world right now. Obviously, the, you know, COVID-verse or the, you know, coronavirus situation still continues. Many things are starting to open up with minor capacities, et cetera. NASCAR, there's a story out there about NASCAR maybe trying to bring some fans back. Like, there's interesting things. I remain cautious. Seeing all these people getting out there and being out there and me being out there. I played golf this past weekend, right? Like, it just goes to show you different feelings at different times. I'm having the SpaceX launch an American machine with an American astronaut going up to the space station. Like, there's so many different things to be thinking about. But as we speak, you know, our brother and sister, fellow Americans all over the country are in various states of agitation. We've got protesters in the streets. We've got certain crime going on. People are protecting their homes and their businesses. It is not a good time in America right now. You know, when history looks back, you look at this time in American history. 2020 is going to be one of the years that is selected from 100 years as one of the real negative ones for the virus and this now, you know, flare up in racial tensions, not even racial tensions. I would call it policing tensions. Because I think that the majority of these protester folks are, you know, multiracial, multicultural, multi-class. People are upset about the video of the guy, George Floyd, who was, you know, they sat on his neck. And it's just going, it's going crazy. Lewis Hamilton has commented. Derek Jeter has commented. Everybody is now commenting. And so we don't talk about politics on this show, but I don't know that this is politics as much as it is a social situation. I didn't feel comfortable just ignoring it. Like, we wouldn't ignore the SpaceX launch. We're not going to ignore this. This is something that's happening and everybody is living through. Do you remember Ginny in Arkansas and Chaz, the two that got married because they listened to my show back on XM? Well, they're truck drivers. They're over-the-road truckers. And they're sharing their feelings about it. And I'm reading it on Facebook and I'm reading all of my people's posts because I want to know what everybody thinks. And, you know, they're over the road truck driving couple. And so they're worried that they're going to get stopped by a group of people and they're going to be put in a terrible situation. Like, that's an angle that they have. And then there are people like I've had conversations with great friends who are Black Americans, and they have an angle, like, very upset about what might happen to them in the world. And that things will never change and have never changed. Like, all of this is happening all at once. At the same time, the coronavirus is out there. Good news, Jock is out of the ICU. That's good news. There's good news. There's bad news. Our SpaceX launch with NASA, that's good news. There's bad news. There's all kinds of stuff happening in the world. And so, I don't know, to come on the show and just pretend it's not happening and have a good time, I don't think that's the right thing to do. So we're going to talk about it for a little bit. And then, just like when we have bad news, we are going to go on and try to have a good time, because this show, you know, hopefully it's escapism for people. Like, they're working. Everyone's working, doing their thing. I mean, they're not really. A lot of people are unemployed and don't have work to go to. But you get my point. They're keeping busy. So long and short of it is, I think it's a horrible, sad situation. I think that in this particular case, in this particular video, one thing that I haven't heard, and I'm happy about it, I haven't heard anybody say, yeah, but, about the George Floyd Minneapolis situation. I have not encountered one person who has said, well, the guy had it coming to him, which is something that sometimes gets said. Well, he wasn't complying, or he wasn't listening to the police, or he made a sudden move, or those things always happen. Haven't heard that at all. Like, everybody is pretty much in uniformity, at least that I've heard from, that, no, this is a horrible tragedy. They had him down. He was handcuffed. They were sitting on his neck. And what was going on with his knee on his neck for that long? And obviously, it's outrageous. There it is. And combined that with the other things that had happened a couple of weeks prior to, there were incidents, the kid in Georgia, which I did hear people say he had it coming to him, and the lady who was shot in her bed while she slept, you know, those police officers are coming into the wrong house, and then shots were fired at them, and then they fired shots back. So you can maybe make a case there, but this one, you see, what is it? A picture's worth a thousand words. And so people are upset, and that's the state of the country we live in. Like, right now, that's the state of the country for this podcast. And we're all dealing with it, and it's uncomfortable. But show must go on, and we're going to go. We're going to do the show. We got racing. I was really proud of the big SpaceX launch. It does feel like the 1960s. with that juxtaposition. Amazing human accomplishments, while at the same time, like, it's a miracle that we could do that. Watching that gave me a sense of overwhelming pride of, you know, our country, but of humanity. While at the exact same time, we are unable to sort out some of our most basic issues, like life and death and respect for each other and property and all of that. It's an amazing world. It's an amazing world. Some of the drivers have come up. We'll talk about Lewis Hamilton. Gio, you got anything you want to say? Normally, sometimes you can be incredibly, I don't even know what the word is, when you say very little but nail the point perfectly.
Yeah, on this one, I really don't have a lot to say. It's you know, it's bothered me a lot watching that video, and especially just seems so senseless. Like, this wasn't a person, anyone who sees that can see that this person was clearly not resisting or fighting. I mean, for Christ's sakes, they were face down, literally, I guess, on the curb in the street with their handcuffed behind their back. And so it just seems so unnecessary. You know, we have a lot of friends that work in law enforcement, and our friends aren't like that. But just the fact that someone who is supposed to, you know, protect and to serve, for lack of a better term, because that's, you know, the slogan of some and many police departments, would do that to anyone, to any unarmed civilian, is just, it's terrifying, is really what it is.
Yeah. Well, and I think there are people that are terrified. I've spoken with some of my Black friends, and the word terrified is very accurate. Like, they are terrified. Like, what can you do against that? You know, you got people saying, hey, you know, please stop. Don't. This is what's happening. No, man. But at the same time, you know, I grew up with tremendous respect for those who serve, military, fire, police, those who protect and serve. And like, this is so counterproductive to that, because now, you know, you get one or two guys that get in there that do bad things. It's no different than the people who are looting reflect poorly on all the protesters. There's 100,000 people protesting, and there's 1,000 people looting, and suddenly the opinion of the other 99,000 is changed. And we've seen that all day on Facebook. I certainly have. People talking about shooting them, people talking about killing them, people talking, you get it. But the same is true for the police. You've got 100,000 cops out there. If 100 of them do bad things, and it's on TV, and people see it, guess what? Suddenly, the other 99,900 that are working hard, helping children with get a cat out of a tree, let somebody go in a situation where they use judgment, that is erased by this horrific memory. And all of a sudden, they're all being painted with this broad brush, and that's where we are, and that's what's just happened, and that's why it's a travesty. The problem is, the person with the responsibility is that guy with that badge who went through training and is receiving a paycheck, and, you know, he did that. And those other guys around him that, like, they wouldn't even look back. They wouldn't listen to the people. And it's clear, and it's terrible. Let me read what Lewis Hamilton said. I guess Lewis Hamilton, Formula One world champ, really the greatest driver ever, Formula One, obviously has dealt with various forms of racism. I remember when he first came out, and, you know, it's in Italy, they attacked him, they called him a monkey, these things. The death of George Floyd, this is from Planet F1, where I go to for my Formula One news that isn't directly from Formula One. The death of George Floyd has sparked worldwide protest, and several stars from other sports used their platform to demand justice. But Hamilton took to social media to express anger that nobody from Formula One had used their voice to speak out and spread awareness. I see those of you who are staying silent, some of you the biggest stars, yet you stay silent in the midst of injustice, Hamilton wrote on Instagram. not a sign from anybody in my industry, which of course is a white-dominated sport. I'm one of the only people of color there, yet I stand alone. I would have thought by now you would see why this happens and say something about it, but you can't stand alongside us. Just know I know you are, and I see you. Just know I know who you are, and I see you. Wow, and just so everybody knows, this is a cold read for me. I knew that there was what Lewis said, but I didn't know what he said, and it's very sad. That's very sad that he feels that way, and that's sad that that is, and I experienced something very similar to exactly that today. Hamilton continued, I do not stand with those looting and burning buildings, but those who are protesting peacefully. There can be no peace until our so-called leaders make change. In the wake of Hamilton's comments, other Formula One drivers have now stood alongside the six-time world champion. Wow, six times. Charles Leclerc, to be completely honest, I felt out of place and uncomfortable sharing my thoughts on social media about the whole situation, and this is why I haven't expressed myself earlier than today, and I was completely wrong. I still struggle to find the words to describe the atrocity of some videos I've seen on the internet. Racism needs to be met with actions, not silence. Please be actively participating, engaging, and encouraging others to spread awareness. It is our responsibility to speak out against injustice. Don't remain silent. And he goes, I stand with Black Lives Matter. Now, you know, Black Lives Matter, ooh, very controversial. Daniel Ricciardo also said, seeing the news the last few days has left me saddened. What happened to George Floyd and what continues to happen in today's society is a disgrace. Now more than ever, we need to stand together, unified together. Racism is toxic and needs to be addressed. Not with violence or silence, but with unity in action. We need to stand up. We need to be a we. Let's be better people. It's 2020. FFS. What does that mean? And they're tagging the Black Lives Matter. Okay, so here, real quick, you know, all right, so here's my awkward situation. It's like, man, I don't want to offend anybody. That's not where I'm at. I don't want to hear people think that, oh, you know, Joe doesn't like me. I don't like Joe. That's not where I want to be. But I guess that's not where you can be. Like, do I side with Lewis Hamilton? Man, I am against racism. That is it. Like, what do I think? I'm against racism. I'm against racism. I'm against hating people for any reason other than they are hateful and hurtful to other people. For things they can't control, who's short, who's fat, who's black, who's white, who's Hispanic, who's Italian, who's like, the Irish hated the Italians. We've been hated, but hopefully we've gotten past that, right? So, man, Lewis is obviously taking it seriously. So when people say the All Lives Matter in front of the Black Lives Matter, like, I relate to both of those things. But I think,
well,
go ahead.
No, nothing. That we shouldn't be worried about who we offend, because in the end, we are against hatred, against bigotry, against racism. And so if you get offended that we are against that, then, you know, F you.
But see,
don't listen to us. Don't follow us. Don't, you know, and I'm sorry. Well, don't listen to me.
Yeah.
And don't follow me. So, I don't want to lump Joe in, but
please.
You know what? If that's what you believe in, well, then F you, because I don't.
Okay.
I am the son of immigrants, and while my skin is light, I am considered a minority in the rest of the country. While I live in a city where I'm not a minority, and luckily I was born in New York City, which, you know, there really are no minorities there either, because everybody, it's a melting pot. And I've been blessed enough to live in New York and in South Florida, the neighborhood, you know, the suburbs of Miami my entire life. So I've never really had to deal with that kind of racism, but I have experienced it very little, as I've spent many, many times around other places of the country. And so if somebody is offended that I, or this, you know, the things I say here in any way, shape, or form, and that they don't agree with, well, that's on them, man. I do not stand for anybody or with anyone that is a racist and that is offended by, you know, by us saying that we stand with our brothers and sisters who are being, you know, executed on TV right before our eyes.
And here's my angle. And I appreciate that.
The reason that they have to explain why Black Lives Matter is that there's too many people that don't seem to realize those people yelling all lives matter. If you have to point it out clearly by what we're seeing, what we've seen in the last, not just handful of days, but over the last years, I mean, since Rodney King, we can go back from Rodney King
time,
to here
on
how
time.
Many but different
no,
occasions
black people
have
got
we
a,
not seen this.
They got a
all
bad
right?
deal. They got, but listen,
so the
let
reason
me,
they
let
feel
me...
that they need to say Black Lives Matter is because a lot of people don't seem to agree with it.
And the racist person out there, like, I want to talk to them. That's my way of going to it. Like, I feel like people can be convinced otherwise. And that's where I come down on it. Like, I think about Robert Byrd, who was a senator in the United States, who was a member of the Klan. And he was from West Virginia, and he was a member of the Klan, but then, like, realized this is wrong and went against it and said, no, wait a second. Judging person, like I think about Martin Luther King, and I think about judging people by the quality of the character and not the color of their skin. Like, I think that that message can still be brought to people who haven't thought of that. And also, it's not always race, because there are white people and Hispanic people and Asian people who are being killed unnecessarily by people with authority that has been given to them by us, the state, and the taxpayer. Like, there are people dying all over the place by people with authority. And I want to talk to the people who support authority. Like, hey, you need people who are, like, you got to screen people better who are becoming police and given that absolute power. You need to make sure they're trained better. And also how to handle difficult situations of racism, like Lewis Hamilton is talking about. So I would like to talk to that person, and I would hope that they would want to hear that. And if they're so far opposed that they can't hear that someone that, you know, shares their passion for sport, for motorsport, for our country, for all of these great things, then, you know, what can you do? And that's where we are. And that's where we are. So I support Lewis. I think Lewis is right. This is a tough time. Tough time. But people are coming out. People are saying some things. And one final thing, and this is my pet project, and then I think we can move on. This is my pet project. Don't believe everything you see is coming from the source that it says it's coming from. We have gone through a lot in this country in the last 6 years. One of the things that is very much documented is that other countries and bad actors are involving themselves in our social media. Like, that is, you know, indisputable, in that agencies and agents of other countries are creating fake profiles and posting insightful things from those profiles, pretending to be housewives in Missouri, pretending to start Facebook groups about pro-America, like support our flag. This, it's a known thing that there are groups and pages that are not what they seem. And they'll post 100 posts, support the flag. And then they'll create a post that says, Black Lives Matter says they're going to come kill everybody. Oh my gosh. And use that. Like, that is a known thing. Why do I bring this up right now? Why is that my pet project? Because I received a couple of those posts from friends today. Friends with connections in law enforcement, and they were flagged as, like, this is not accurate. And I'm going to read one of them to you, and then we'll move on. Like, from Antifa America, you know, on Twitter, or tonight's the night, comrades. Tonight we say F the city, and we move into the residential areas, the white hoods, and we take what's ours. That's the post from Antifa America, right, which was sent to me by a friend in law enforcement as an example of something that's out there. Okay, who's behind that? Like, who's behind that page? Who's behind it? Is it actually who they say it is? Is it Who knows? You don't know. Nobody knows. The Facebook and Twitterizing of our world. Like, you don't know anything. Who's behind any of this? Fake news, fake reports, fake incitement, fake crimes, fake, you don't know. You don't know. So you should not react. Certainly not until you see something that's clear. And that's it. That's all I got. I mean, I feel like I can go on from here and have a pretty good time now. Do you think we've driven away the entire audience? Well, no, they'll let us know. Don't ever do that again, guys. We hate you. Or maybe, hey, somebody thought it was insightful and positive. N-I-N-S-I-G-H-T, full, insightful. Not the other insight, because that would be bad. But anyway, that's where I'm at. That's what I'm thinking. I did enjoy the Bristol race. I did enjoy SpaceX. I am, supposedly, NHRA might have a schedule coming out soon. And if that happens, that would be good. I'm looking forward to hearing about some interesting racing out there in the drag racing world. PDRA was in action this past weekend. And we are primarily a motorsports show. Sports Collision, the other sports I hear are working on their how to get back. Hockey came up with
We can start with IndyCar, which is a motorsport, is coming back this Saturday, June the 6th, in Texas Motor Speedway.
Saturday night on
over
the lights.
Over there with our friend Eddie.
Texas,
Gossage,
Eddie right? Gossage, who said WFO would never make it. And I guess he's right. I don't know. Because
that's
of the
not
w.
what he said. He said that the name itself was a problem.
Was too racy. He said WFO was too not mainstream, that it needs to be like.
Right. Friends, but yet somehow one of the networks found it okay to put a TV show named Schmidt, my dad says.
Exactly.
Right.
Whatever. I think we're constantly ahead of our time. We're one of those people, you know, those groups that is just too far out ahead of their time on a regular basis. The WFO. Nonetheless, I'm excited to see IndyCar. I'm excited to see anything that's back on the track. Did you send me results to the NASCAR? Or do I bring that up myself?
No, you can get that yourself. They've made it fairly easy. They have them where it says Bristol results on one of the quick links on the left-hand side right there.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good. But I happen to be sitting on
the... We have fantasy results.
The JSP. Yeah, no, we're going to get into our regular WFO stuff. It's sad, folks. That's all. Like, I hate to see all of this. Like, in the end, like, is there any... You know, there's nobody. I don't think there's nobody's like, yeah, this is great. And those people are the ones that are the questionable ones. This is a good thing. This is a bad thing. Brad Keselowski gets the win. Clint Bowyer second, and Jimmy Johnson rounding out the top three in a finish that was fun, unique, bizarre, and very old school Bristol. Chase Elliott was battling Joey Logano late in the race and lost it up underneath Joey and took them both out. But I was okay with it because he was going for the win. I felt bad for Joey. They both handled it afterwards. Joey said that Chase... he didn't like the fact that he needed to pull an excuse, an apology out of Chase, and that was immature. And I agree, that is immature. But Chase is not a mature person. He is still a young man, like a boy. And Joey has been in that position as well. So, you know, don't you wish that everybody handled every situation perfectly? In the grand scheme of what we're dealing with right now, not really worth talking about. Brad Keselowski jumped on it. Larry McReynolds says, getting two tires is not going to be the move to win the race. Guess what? It was the move to win the race because he was able to go up there and take advantage of this craziness and win. Would he have won?
Well, because another caution came out is what it was.
Right. Would he have won if not? Well, probably not. I felt like Joey Logano was going to be able to hold off Chase. And Chase, Joey had a good car. And Chase would have run second. Chase Elliott, definitely the breakout superstar of this five race stint, has been in the news the whole time, gaining fans, losing fans, but that's how you do it. You got to do something. He shot the bird. He got taken out. He won a race like that. That's good for Chase. And if NASCAR is going to be, you know, continue to grow, Chase Elliott being successful is a big part of it. And I think he's doing everything he needs to do. He's a highlight reel. He's crashing. He's winning. He's giving people the finger. That's all you can ask from a superstar driver, right? Like, that's when we say it, you've got to do something. You've got to do something. You've got to make them respond. Chase Elliott is making them respond. You got to do something. And he did. And I love that they didn't give him a penalty for giving the finger. I love the fact that he's just doing his thing. But Brad Keselowski was the winner, and Brad is looking really strong. And let's listen to 2 minutes and 39 seconds of Brad Keselowski saying stuff about the win while wearing a mask, by the way.
Yeah, just a wild, wild day. One of those days that, you know, you look at and you think of as going back and being a part of Bristol lore for a long time to come. And I'm glad we were able to win it. But, geez, so much beating and banging. Oh, my goodness. We've all been cooped up in our houses too long and came to Bristol and took out some aggression, I guess. I don't know. But early on in the race, everybody was hitting each other, and it carried in all the way to the end. And, you know, some people ran me over. I probably ran some people over. And everybody's mad at everybody going into Atlanta next week. But just – a really eventful day for us. We started up front on the pole, led a bunch of laps, lost the lead, and then we made some adjustments to the car and got really good in the second stage. Got to the lead, then lost the lead on pit road, and I just could not hit the restarts after that. And I kept falling back. Fell all the way to, I think, eighth or ninth or something like that. And just started to get really frustrated. Started to lose the handle on the car. The track kept changing. And then I was pushing really hard and got a pit road penalty. It was just, wow, I am just digging a hole. And with about 40-some to go, I think we were running 14th or 15th, 48, 49 to go. I don't know. Somebody's probably got a stat on that. And we came in. We put left side tires on, came off of pit road in a spot to compete. And I think we came off pit road maybe 12th and just kept cycling forward. They'd drop the green, we'd go five laps, they'd wreck. They'd drop the green and go five laps, they'd wreck. Until next thing I knew, I was restarting fourth. Like, wow, this is perfect. And cleared for third on the restart there, the last restart. And I watched Joey and Chase going at it. And next thing I know, they were wrecking. And here we found ourselves in victory lane. Just really crazy how it all came together. But I'll tell you, I'm super proud to be here and to get a second win in the season. You know, that's, for me, my fifth year with multiple wins in a row, which is really good and really happy and proud of that. You know, and trying to put ourselves in a position to make a real run at a championship. Hopefully we can do just that. And I feel like we're coming together as a team. You know, this is a new team this year. Same number, same car and all that, but new team. And they're really starting to gel, so I'm very happy for them.
Says Brad Keselowski. And that was great stuff, Brad, putting it all together. And, you know, what can you say? Brad, the stats speak for itself. The fifth year in a row with multiple wins. I like that he's keeping track of that. Brad K.
Love Brad K. It's always great when he wins.
Yeah, it really is.
It's always great when Clint Bowyer is in the post-race interviews too.
Yeah, he is. And that's, is that up on our website, Clint Bowyer?
It's
is that where it is?
Yeah. It's part of the Brad Keselowski post-race interviews.
Ah, that's really good. I am thrilled that Bowyer is up there. And I actually was wanting, you know, you change your who you want to win very rapidly. I was rooting for Joey over Chase, but then Chase crashed Joey. So then I was rooting for Brad because I like Brad. But then it was Clint Bowyer. Oh, I'd rather see Clint Bowyer beat Brad because he'll be fun in the post race. That's it. Like, I thought about the post-race interview, and I thought, oh, it would be better. Whose is going to be better? Clint Bowyer is going to be better. We'll get a bunch of sound drops. We'll get a bunch of things. He'll say a bunch of funny stuff. But I guess we got the best of the both worlds with that one.
Where the hell have you been? You're sunburnt.
Right. If he can win a bunch of races, man, NASCAR would take off. Like, if Clint Bowyer won five races in a season and won a championship and stormed through the playoffs, that would be incredible. And he, like, won back-to-back championships.
Yeah, if he could have a couple of good runs like that.
Yeah. It was great. Here's the rest of the results. Jimmy Johnson, third. Great run by Johnson. He's going to get a win. I want him to get a win. Everybody wants him to get a win in this final season of his career. Kyle Busch, fourth. Eric Jones, fifth. Austin Dillon, sixth. Kurt Busch, seventh. William Lord Byron, eighth. Christopher Bell, ninth. Bubba, tenth. Kevin Harvick, Ryan Preece, John Hunter Nemechek, who's been running real well. Mike McDowell, Ryan Newman, Matt Kenseth, Denny Hamlin, Daniel Suarez, Tim Hill, and Martin Truex Jr., 11th through 20th. The rest of the way on back, Joey Logano, Chase Elliott, Chris Buescher, Brennan Poole, J.J. Yaley, Garrett Smithley, Quinn Hoff, B.J. McLeod, Eric Almirola, Greg Alding, Matty D. Come on, Matty D, get going again. Matty D, man, had all the momentum before the coronavirus, and then it hasn't really been going so great. Corey LaJoy, Joey Gase, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Cole Custer, Tyler Reddick, who actually had run real well in his time in this period when everybody's focused. Alex Bowman, Bailey Curry.
He was involved in one of those wrecks. There was a lot of wrecks. It was a good old fun, wild, beating and banging, old school Bristol type race.
No, I like it. And, you know, I know we talk about packages too much, but I think the racing for last year and now this year has been exciting. And I think everybody can and should pick a driver and pick a side and, you know, get back into it, which I think everybody is. I think everybody is. It's really an interesting situation. And so we got IndyCar Saturday night, where the Cup Series is. Can't believe I said it like that.
Hotlanta.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're going to the dirty.
And the Dirty South, a track that we have been to, a high-speed track. It's going to be a lot of fun. Of course, the new package will make it more a little more slot car-y, but it will be fun to watch, and it'll be kind of cool. And so there you go. IndyCar also. So we're going to have IndyCar back. And we're going to have NASCAR back. Yeah, man, NHRA drag racing needs to get back. We need to figure this thing out. And my sources are telling me that there's going to be an announcement, you know, hopefully this week. Some are saying sooner rather than later. We'll see. But they're dialing everything in, and they're getting everything locked down. And hopefully we'll see. And Gio sent me information earlier today that, you know what is this? Okay, so NASCAR even made a statement. The NASCAR family, like so many others, is hurt and angered by immensely troubling events that have taken place. Everybody is making statements, folks. You should not be upset that WFO is talking about that subject for a few minutes.
And if you are, well...
But you know what? They probably aren't, man. That's probably all me.
That's the whole point. It is. They're not upset.
No, man, when I was at the XM, I got a couple of firm talking to from listeners out there. And Neil used to always say it, too. Keep it light. Keep it light. Remember that? Neil Rogers got his.
Yes. And we generally do. We do.
Keep it
but,
light.
But, you know, we couldn't go a night like this without mentioning what's going on. Like, it would be irresponsible.
It would definitely be fake. Right? Like. Get out there, clown. With sad clown, we got to just get out there, sad clown.
Right. Look, we don't have enough sports around to be distracted by things right now.
No, but we've had a lot of stuff. So, oh yeah.
But
here
by
it is.
The way, all the sports leagues are making efforts. It looks like everyone is working on a plan, or has already a plan, or has said they're coming back even without a plan. And so by July, we should be seeing a resumption of, you know, some sort of hockey, basketball, potentially baseball, you know, for the fall, come the fall, the NFL has shown no signs that they plan on postponing or pushing anything back for now. And there's been a lot of talk of a lot of college football being able to be played, if not most, if not all of it. And so a lot of sports are making at least contingency plans right now to return and as soon as possible. And so, you know, just like everything, be patient and this too situation with the COVID will pass.
So there was a tweet earlier today. There were actually two that have been included up on the J-Ski, and one is Andy Slater, the Slater scoop. Fans may be allowed in the stands at Homestead Miami Speedway for upcoming NASCAR races June 13th through 14th. The plan would allow military personnel to attend and possibly a few hundred ticket holders, sources say, not finalized yet. Andy Slater of the Slater Scoop. Did you know that Slater got that scoop?
I did not know that Slater was the one who had the scoop, no, but I had seen it.
Adam Stern, well, you sent me Adam Stern's tweet also, right. But Slater made Jayski. Stern did it first, I guess. NASCAR is evaluating allowing fans back at its races as soon as later this month, possibly Homestead Miami Speedway and Talladega, per sources. This would be reduced capacity only in places where local rules now allow it, and the decision is still being studied, not yet final. Boy, what do I think about this? I think that I don't know if Miami-Dade County is ready to do it, but maybe. I think that, like, you know, hopefully, that you're getting my true, unvarnished opinion, because I have been very reluctant to go out, and I've been very reluctant and cautious. There are people like the kids in the pool at the Ozarks who are all, everybody's ready to run out there. And they like, if you're afraid, you stay home, but I'm going, which is fine until you get sick. And then you end up in the hospital and a bunch of people like you overwhelm the hospital. And then I have a heart attack and I can't go to the hospital because of you. Like that's the math, right? That's the math that's happening right now. But I really think that these outdoor sports where you're outside in a grandstand 50 feet up, there's race cars going around, the track is built to have 70,000 people, and even if it was a very successful race, it would only have 60,000 people, and you limit the capacity somewhat. I think it can be done. Like, I'm actually now very confident that if fans are socially distant, taking care to be distant, and wearing masks, we can have fans at these races. And I'm thinking in a very, like, I'm thinking selfishly, like, some people have to go back to work to make a couple of bucks or they will lose their whatever, house, unable to pay the rent. You get it, right? Financial reasons, they're desperate to get back to work for those reasons. I'm not in that situation. I want to go back for the good of the sport, for everybody else. I want to go back because I want to go back. I will choose to go back, right? I have been to the TV deal. I have kind of seen the races happen at Texas Motorplex. Man, I think a drag strip with capacity for 30,000 people that is going to get 15,000 people, and they're going to be outside spread out over 20 acres. If you ask them to wear masks and they comply, I think we can do that. I think that can work. I think we should try that. I think that's better than going to the barber. I think me being in a barber's office, was that what he has? What do they call it?
A shop.
The barber's office. The heck am I thinking?
At the barber clinic.
Right. The barber's office. When you go to the office to see the barber. But I'd rather go to the drag strip with 12,000 people every day of the week. You know, it's outside. You got nitro floating in the air. So that's what I'm hoping. And NASCAR race too. And we got tickets to Homestead Miami Speedway. We got those promo tickets, Gio. We'll go.
Well, we would be allowed in even without the promo tickets. I don't know how many, regular Joe Schmo fans, well, Joe, like you, will be able to, but regular fans will be able to get in. As is, we're more than likely not going to be allowed in under the current NASCAR policy, which is four total reporters, one from the AP, a photographer, and two people that they decide from.
Right.
Whatever. From what have you.
Yeah. And whatever. We'll see. Let's hope. Let's hope we keep coming. Now, that having been said, okay. this virus is out there still. It's still real. Just because everybody's angry about something else and doing something else doesn't mean it's any less powerful. And there is a big possibility this thing could come raging back in, what do we say, 14 days from now.
The Homestead race?
Well, no. I'm talking about the coronavirus with all these people that are out protesting. They got something to say, but that doesn't change the virus. The virus doesn't care about any of this. That's the thing, is virus doesn't care about any of this. Virus is its own thing. And people are out, and they're interacting, they're shouting at each
Absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely.
Mm, no bueno.
No, we're going to see. We're going to find out in the next few weeks. I mean, as is, we're going to find out now. You know, it's been roughly a month since a lot of states started reopening. I believe it was that first May the 4th, that first Monday in May.
May the 4th be with you.
So
we'll see. JK Levin.
Look, you know, it's one of those things where generally, like you said, I think if you avoid the crowds, try not to be shoulder to shoulder with people breathing on each other, if you do the right thing and just, you know, normal personal space and hygiene, you know, you're doing a lot to keep yourself safer.
Exactly.
At this point with the virus, It's how much risk are you willing to accept, I guess, is really a matter of it. A lot of things have opened, and while in some places you see people just all storming back in, there's a lot of, you know, I've been to a couple of local restaurants where I still pick up the takeout, and there's, you know, two or three tables where people are sitting in there of the 10 tables that they have available, but I have yet to be in any of the restaurants that I pick up local food from around here. I have yet to see them like crowded like that. Every table that they have in there with the reduced capacity is available. I still see mostly people coming in to get the food to go. And so it's just that. I mean, you could just let everything open, but I don't know that everybody is just willing. If they were to say that this weekend in Atlanta, it's a free for all and you can sell out the place if you want to, I generally don't believe that you'll get a sellout crowd there.
No, I agree with you.
Or if they were going to play a football game at our local stadium or whatever local stadium this coming weekend, I don't think that they would get 60 or 70,000 people in there. I think there'd be a good 20, 30, maybe even half of the capacity that's willing to take the chance. But I don't think everybody is. At least that's not from what I see locally here. You know, I've talked to some of the friends throughout the country, and they are, you know, people – you know, make fun of them for wearing a mask, and a lot of people don't wear the mask. But in the area where we live, at least in your neighborhood in South Florida, and where we've seen, the vast majority of the people are doing their best to maintain distance. And everywhere I go, I see the mask, and I've seen videos of people complaining about the mask and refusing to wear the mask and being thrown out of places. But I have not encountered a single one of those people face to face. Or have been around when someone is bitching and complaining about it.
The mask thing is just unfortunate because nobody likes wearing the mask. Although I did see one of our great listeners out there, Derek, post a photograph of himself with his brand new WFO radio logo mask. See, I want this mask thing to take off because, listen, this guy has never looked better than the way he looked with the WFO radio mask covering his face. It was spectacular. Like, the guy looked handsome. It was tremendous. And other people were asking for the WFO radio masks. It's pretty amazing. And so here's what I did. I sent them to our Patreons first. What are you laughing at? It's true. I'm looking for it because I think I have a way to share. So you could see.
Well,
if
I did see it online.
Did
I
you
think
see
he
it?
Posted it, or you posted
Derek
it?
Derek Green,
I saw it on Twitter,
man, he looks so handsome with his WFO radio logo mask. This mask is. There's a couple of things going on with it. Number one, it is fantastic product placement. How can people not ask you about the WFO Radio podcast? And we got these masks out there, and everybody's going to be asking about the show. And the first thing they're encountering is obviously heavy stuff, but no big deal. But Derek is looking great. But the second part of it is this. I've had three people say to me something that is very similar. And I will now say it to you, and you can do what you want with it. But the mask is kind of a kind of a silky material, kind of like a satiny material.
Kind of looks like a panty.
It kind of looks like a panty. Like it's
son, panty. You got a panty on your head.
You got a panty on your head. This is like having a panty on your head, except you can get away with it. Like, why would you not want a panty on your head and get away with it totally? Like, I'm wondering if Randy Lynn has played the best prank ever on me by giving me masks that are made out of panty material. Because they're very nice. Like, you see these little, they got the little octagons there in the background. Steve Brenwald, Brenwald Media, who does our art, he says that his son has got a big beard. He's like one of these guys with a big beard. And that when he takes the mask that kind of looks like a panty and puts it over his big beard, that it just looks like a very, so anyway, the masks were given out to all of our Patreons. And if you're a patreon.com/WFO radio supporter and you send money directly to the show, you received the mask. And I sent mask. I sent a bunch to Lowe and I sent to Bobby Graham and Derek and others. And you guys, like, if you got your mask, I would love to see a photo just like Derek. Like, Derek is the ultimate listener because he does exactly what needs to be done. Not only does he have the mask, but now that mask is up there. It's been photographed. He's been photographed with the mask. I shared it on social media. It looks great. And it's great. But I have some more masks, so we got to figure out how we're going to do. Like, am I going to sell these remaining masks? Like, $50 a mask. I don't think that's going to work. Am I going to just give them away to people? I gave one away to somebody last week. Did I send that out to that guy? Uh-oh. I think I did. I think it went out there. But boy, I had a panic moment just 2 seconds ago. Whew! Man, I was panicked. So there you go. Formula One news. Carlos Sainz stated as underrated. Some people are saying that Sainz is actually going to be a lot better than people think he's going to be.
Well, when Leclerc came over, we just didn't know enough about him either. And as soon as he got in the car, he appeared to be the faster driver.
Immediately. Did we, we spent a fair amount of time talking about that, but we're still sorting it all out. And Formula One, they're coming around, July 4th weekend. So everybody's coming back. Oh, it's going to be so great. That's what it is. It's just going to take time to get back to what we would call a semblance of normal. A semblance of normal. But good job, Derek. Thank you very much for, Todd is out there. He wants a mask. He asked for a mask? Yeah. I'm going to tell him. I'm going to answer him right now. Yeah. I really would have rather him not said that publicly, though, because, maybe the masks become a currency, right? Like, you want the mask? No, I think we should just blow them out. Like, normally when I get stickers and stuff, like, I position them. We're blowing them out. Speaking of which, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida. 33084 WFO radio stickers. It is now one of my favorite things to do, to go to the P.O. box and send out WFO radio stickers. Because we're getting people, they want them, and the stickers fit in the envelopes, except for this one guy sent a teeny tiny little envelope. Sir, come on. That envelope was tiny. Like, what do you think the sticker is? But I did a smart alecky kind of thing. Now, I don't want to say smart alecky because, first of all, this is not a contentious relationship. This guy is a WFO radio listener. I've already been very clear that I really care what the WFO radio listeners think. And I want them all to love the show, and I want them all to tell their friends to listen to the show and really love it. But see, like Gary Gerald says, you shouldn't worry about what the crowd thinks too much because pretty soon you'll be sitting with them. Just do your thing. So there's all these conflicting push-pull deals going on. But when it comes to WFO radio stickers, the guy wants stickers, so he sends me the self-addressed stamped envelope. I open up the self-addressed stamped envelope to find his envelope, and it's this tiny little thing. Like you would put a small invitation in. Like, you know, the envelope that goes inside the wedding invitation and it's just like a tiny little card? That's what it is. And so I was like, oh, my gosh. So I took our stickers and I put them in there and I closed it as best as I could. And then I, like, just taped up the rest and sent it back.
That's pretty funny.
And it's going to make it. It's going to make it. Like, I would have never sent out something that wasn't going to make it. But, like, I don't know, man. Bigger envelope, more stickers. I'm not going to send you, like, 50 stickers, though. I sent Randy Lynn some stickers. So if you use the promo code WFO20 at Nitro Fish Racing, you're going to get 20% off. And if you get a WFO Radio t-shirt, hopefully Randy Lynn will throw some of those in there. That's my plan.
Well, I'm pretty sure she will.
Yeah.
While supplies last.
Well, what else is she going to do with the stickers I sent her? Just look at them?
That's what I said. I said she will while supplies last.
It's always while supplies last. All right, let's go Sports Collision. We got anything else that we've missed out in terms of racing other than Gary Selzy and John Force at the tail end of the week last week were some of the most epic programs in the history of drag racing? Gary Selzy.
No, in terms of racing, there's nothing left. We discussed the possibilities that you mentioned that you're hearing things might come out soon in your sport, NHRA. Yep. We know for certain that it appears that IndyCar is coming back this Saturday at Texas Motorplex. Motor Speedway, sorry, not the Motorplex. And NASCAR will be at Atlanta this coming weekend, too. It'll be the first week of back to some sort of normalcy where it'll go Sunday to Sunday instead of Sunday, Wednesday, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday.
Yes.
And we briefly touched on, there's really not a lot to discuss in the regular sports world other than there's active discussion by all leagues to return at some point in July, early, mid, and late July, depending on what league and who you speak to. And that's about it. There's really no concrete hard date on any of them. NHL did, in fact, say that they're coming back and they're going to be going straight to the playoffs, but they don't have, you know, no other plan other than that. They didn't announce any, like, what teams are going to be in or where they're going to be at or any of the procedure. And as we discussed, there's been a lot of talk about the NBA returning with as many as 20 or 22 teams still playing what's left of some sort of postseason and tournament to find a champion, where their talk is to play all their games in Orlando at the Disney's Wide World of Sports Complex. And all teams would be there, so therefore there wouldn't be any travel issues.
Where was it? Okay, first of all, where was it that I heard that they were working on something, there was a playoff format, et cetera, but a couple of the teams might not participate? Did you hear that?
Well, it would be – the talk is of the teams like – you might have heard Golden State. Well, you know, your mind quickly says, well, why would Golden State not participate? Well, you forgot that they had a horrible – you know, injury situation with their stars and Kevin Durant left. And so therefore their team is they're actually the worst team in the league this year. And so they're already been eliminated from the playoffs. And there's a handful of teams that are actually eliminated. And so there's talk of not making those guys come back. So I think that might've been what you heard. And that's why I said a talk of a 20 to 22 team tournament, which would be the 16 normal teams that make the playoffs, plus maybe, you know, the two or three teams on each conference that had a mathematical possibility of making it or what have you. You know, they're talking about a college style where, like, I guess in this case would be like the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th seed teams would play each other. Mm-hmm. And then the winners would play play in to the tournament, so to speak.
I like
kinda
it.
Like that.
Well, let me tell you, I like it.
Basically, the NBA is anything is on the table, according to them. You know, they're just everybody's all in on resuming and finishing off, you know, the 2019-2020 season.
I think that, and we've said it the whole time, like, look, 2020 is a bust. Whatever you can do, you ever wanted to experiment with something, if you ever wanted to try something to see if it worked, I think we've already learned some of the great successes of this. I think NASCAR has learned that shortened Wednesday night races, even though we didn't really get one, is something they should be doing. Now, I've been saying for many, many years, like Monday night NASCAR, some sort of midweek NASCAR could work. But they got to shorten some of the race a little bit, right? Well, now look, they did. Okay, boom, 500 kilometers, 300 miles. Let's go. And midweek NASCAR is something that I could get into because Sunday afternoon NASCAR, first of all, I love the races only being separated by a couple of days. You got Sunday, you got Wednesday. You got Sunday, you got Wednesday. Like that cadence, to me, enables me to keep up with the story a little bit better. Who did what? How well did they do? What was the story? Who was in the lead? Who were the players? Number one. Number two, it stays on your mind. And two, Wednesday, midweek, you know, if we had a NASCAR race on Wednesdays on a regular basis, I think that could work. So I think NASCAR has had some success with this period. And I think everybody should be thinking, like, did you ever have an idea that you wanted to try? The NBA teams doing a March Madness style tournament to me sounds fantastic. Let's make sure Vegas is open for that. That will be spectacular. Like, how much fun would we have watching teams like try to go on a run and win? Like, it would be great. You don't do it always, et cetera, and so on. So be creative. NHRA drag racing. I think it's safe for me to discuss the rumors that have been circulating because Courtney Anders talked about it on our Happy Hour show, which used to be called Friday Cocktails is now Happy Hour because when we go back racing, Fridays are going to be taken. But happy hours can happen on a Wednesday, right? You can have a happy hour on a Monday. So that's
my theory. Happy hour is every day from 4 to 7 p.m. according to like bars and restaurants.
Exactly. And so the happy hour shows where we continue to consume a beverage and discuss the issues of the day will continue even when we get back to racing. It's not going to be something that dies. That's where we got creative here on the show, right? Well, she said, and so did Angie Smith, and so did John Force, that NHRA is talking about doing a couple of races in Indy in July. You know, what exactly are they going to do? Are they going to have fans or are they not going to have fans? Well, that's all up to the local governments. But to do a couple of races at the same track, to get a couple of races in, to do a couple of races so the teams don't have to be traveling to wherever and get a couple of races in, get the season going without everybody like having to go out on the road, like shake the rust off right down the street from your house. I like that idea. Like, I think that would be cool. Get a couple in. Because you're just not going to be make them all up. Get a real sample size for the champion, for the racers to get out there, get the teams going again. I hope that that's true. Will it have fans? Will it not have fans? We don't know. Nobody knows. Will it happen? We don't know. Nobody knows. Will they decide that it's going to happen and it's going to be great and then have it canceled because of some stuff? We don't know. Yeah, maybe. We don't know. That's why it's all just rumor. But if they could do that, I think that would be great. And then, of course, be ready to get up there to Seattle, which is still the deal. And that announcement is supposedly coming very soon. So we shall see. IndyCar, this came out at 4 o'clock, just dove in on it, has introduced a 35-lap limit for tires on Saturday night in the Genesis 300. Firestone's got a new compound. The construction is different than last year. And so because the aero screen is kind of changing some things, they decided to they're going to do a 35-lap limit. And some of the drivers, Scott Dixon being one of them, doesn't like that because then tire degradation is not a thing. Degradation. And so you're shortening the stint by about half. So there's something to watch for Saturday night when IndyCar hits it. And there you go. You know what we didn't do? Thank God.
Fantasy.
Thank goodness for me. Thank God for me.
Our show wasn't over yet.
Yeah. That's true, especially since, and I want to pay very, I don't have the sound effect. Oh, well, we don't have the Bristol results up.
No, they're on the regular.
I'll find it. But I did want to give very, wait, what? I thought that Stubo won.
I think she won Thursday. Remember?
Well, what the heck is this? All right, I got it up on the website. I'm going to have to go to... I'm not complaining, Patrick. Don't worry. Patrick the Webmaster has been very helpful lately. We've had some things, some weird catastrophes. I put Force up, and YouTube gets all weird on me. John Force says he's going to come on the Cocktails show, incidentally, and he's going to give me the show of a lifetime. What's the quote? Which I think is pretty cool. Race results. Yeah, we got two races we missed. Oh, man. Gio, you're supposed to be filling in this time while I try to sort out what the heck is wrong with the website.
Well, you're not going to get them on our website. You have to go to the driver group game.
Oh, I'm on driver group game. Here I am.
Okay.
Full season. But now I got
to
find the
actual race results. Yeah, I believe my Thursday I had a good performance, but Sunday all my drivers, I had Chase Elliott and Joey Logano were my A drivers.
Oh, that went south.
So how do you think that worked out?
That went south.
And I had Kurt Busch and Ryan Blaney as my B drivers.
Oh, wow.
And Matt Kenseth was my C. So I think all those guys crashed out, every single one of them.
All right, so here it is. The ALSCO Uniforms 500 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. This was the one that was supposed
that was
to be
Thursday.
The Wednesday, but it was rained out to Thursday and et cetera and so on. Stubo, Supergas crew chief, won the week. And this is why I went through the whole exercise, because Stubo, this is our first win. She is like a great listener, a diehard listener. Drag racer out there doing all kinds of stuff, you know, preaching the gospel, like John would say, of the show. 346 points. Way to go, Stubo. And hey, all you people out there, this is a bizarre year. But 50 years from now, when the aliens are digging up the Fantasy League trophy from the rubble of the world, it's going to say your name on it, perhaps. It might say Stubo, Supergas crew chief on there. So take it serious. I've been trying to take it serious, and it's not working. I have been having the worst year I've ever had while putting in effort. Second place was Spider Monkey. What's up, Gary? When are we going to get Gary Corbin on here? Now that we can like have Gary and see Gary, we got to get Gary. Got to check in with Gary. Find out what's up with Gary. All the iRacing and stuff. Fat Tire 22 is third. Chicken Pit Special fourth. A26 Guy Marvin is fifth. Elephant Racer sixth. Derail 100 is seventh. Dirty Hippies 8th, Geo in Miami 9th, and TS6690 rounding out the top 10. Those are the scores from Charlotte. Now, here are the scores from Bristol, and then I will give you the overall. Food City 500, Racing 5032 won the week with 334. Recce Stinkhouse 329. Easy E 009 324. El Jefe 324. I met El Jefe the other day. Beer Eater Racing 81, 306. Noodles Racing, that's Tommy Noodles, 304. Driving Hard, 298. Cervix Splitter, where was I talking about the Cervix Splitter? Was that on here on the show? Were you on that show when I was talking about the Cervix Splitter over and over again because the name is just crazy?
No, I don't recall.
Oh, man. I just can't get over that name. That's one of the funniest names we've ever had, the Cervix Splitter. It's horrible and funny. The Real Muffler Bearing. 239 misshipment valve, and now the overall. That's what everybody wants to know. The overall standings, league standings. And it's been a while, so I don't even remember who was at the top. But, stand by. The overall full season score, Racing 5032. Very boring name, but in the league, in the lead nonetheless, by 38 points. Racing 5032. Motorhead 55 is 38 back in second. Hockey Kid, whoa, Hockey Kid. 50 points behind Hockey Kid is probably the Hockey Man by now. Hockey Kid is taking it serious, and Hockey Kid is trying to get his name on the trophy. Good job, Hockey Kid. No doubt all that great advice I gave him as a youngin. Fourth, Dan Elephant Racers. What's up, Dan? 69 points back. Fat Tire 22, 5th, 87 back. Day Racing 21, 6th, 87 back. Beer Reader Racing 81, 95 back. Team 12, 8th, 98 back. Bad Brad, 9th, 106 back. Garrett Senkow, Gareth, with his Super Street car, 10th, showing out pretty well. 11, the Chicken Pit Special. 12 Patrick the Webmaster, 13 Gio in Miami. Oh, Gio in Miami is back. He's having a good year again.
Look at that. Is a very big surprise because, like I said, I finally got around to changing my team on Saturday.
Yeah.
I might as well have left the previous team. I had Jimmy Johnson and Joey Logano.
Man, I changed my team every
Johnson
week.
Johnson and Denny Hamlin.
I'm trying. I'm stinking out the joint, man. It's terrible. Ray Indy, 14th. Moonchild, 15th. All right. Mr. Fantasy NASCAR is 184 points back in 16th. So you guys got to be leading him by at least 300 points or he's going to come up and win. Now on the fives. Barbecue Bob, 20th. 25th, Keen Racing, 234 back. 30th, Heavy Loner. Oh, that makes me a little sad. It's like Heavy Loner, like somebody who's a little heavy and they're a lonely person. He's right behind Southern Racer X, who is 29th and just ahead of the Blurple Hog Fan, just ahead of the Dirty Hippies. 35th, Sacramento Racing Fan, 290 back, behind Flea Tree and Highline Real Fine. Los Chincones, who we're happy is alive, 301 back, and 37th. Noodles Racing, 38th. 40th, Jambalaya J Racing, who's just behind I Can See Her Almirola's and ahead of former champ Smothered and Covered. Spider Monk Racing is 42nd. 45th, JJ Husker Fan, who I sent, he got stickers. He sent in an envelope asking for stickers, and I sent JJ some stickers. What did I send him also? A lock of Gio's hair. 50th, Rich and Saugus, 368 back. What's up, Rich? And Team English is 49th. Miller Man is 48th. Why don't I just read every name? Because keep on going. Notice which name I haven't said. Aviator Racing is 51st. 55th, Team Gray. Oh, no. Is this what's going to happen? Team Gray, 55th. WFO Joe, 56th. 3 points apart. El Jefe, 57th. Bullswell, 58th. Stubo, come on. 59th, yeah, you just had a win. Let's go. Sith Racing, 60th. 65th, DRT 99. Dirt 99. 70th, TS6690, 75th, Hogbass, down 960 points. But at least Hogbass is still playing, man. Hogbass is playing, 1,687 points. He's gained some points. And there you have it. Those are the Fantasy League results following Bristol and the Food City 500 before Hotlanta. And there you go. See, after not doing the show for a long time with fantasy results, I don't know how to do the show with fantasy results. And I did it at the wrong time, and we had our big moment at the beginning, etc. So there you have it. All right, final thoughts there, Giovanni in Miami. Final thoughts. Listen, wow. Here's one for you.
Yeah.
Here's one for you. You know, the race has been going on. The Xfinity race has been going on. We can report results in a two-lap overtime. Noah Gregson ended up winning in the Xfinity Series race. And that's the thing is like, wanted to get that result in, as it has just happened. You know, we're not allowed to do play-by-play while we're doing the show. Otherwise, we would have kept you up on that stuff. But there you go. So a big win at Bristol and the Cheddars 300. Second career win of the season, or second career series win of the season. There you go. Noah Gregson. Very cool. Any final thoughts for Gio in Miami?
No, not really. Just, you know, I hope everyone can stay safe in these trying times and find it within themselves to have some sympathy for those that are not like us.
Wow. Can't say much better than that. It's as simple as that. Like, you can, I look at it. I posted this beautiful photograph taken from the space station. And we spent, you know, this past weekend, like I had a good time. I went out and played golf for the first time. I had the best round of my adult life. I shot 105 and I had some really great shots and I played really solidly and I'm real happy about it. Like playing a little bit better at golf is something that I would love to do. Like I would love to crack 100. I would love to be able to be in a tournament and carry my weight, that kind of thing. And so I took it real serious and I delivered results and I felt really happy about it, you know. But knowing all this stuff is going on and seeing the push notifications is very terrible. But I watched the SpaceX launch from the fairway of a par five on the back nine on my phone. And just like, it was so cool. Like, man, wow, this is great. But to know that there's, you know, there's negative stuff going on, and there's always negative stuff going on. There's negative stuff going on as well. So today I post this photograph from the space station of the state of Florida, this beautiful photograph. And you just look down, they're up there 250 miles up, and you think about the universe and the galaxy and our solar system and the planets in it. And there's one planet that there's life of any kind. And, you know, Gio's got this pool at his, in his backyard now. And he's, you know, been luxuriating in the pool. And there's like a blade of grass that grew through the bottom of the pool. And I think about like the power of life. Like that blade of grass has got like 10,000 pounds crushing down on it. And it's got no sunlight. It's covered by like this, you know, plastic vinyl, and somehow the blade of grass burst through the plastic and grew up through the bottom of the pool, and it's growing towards the sun. And I'm thinking about like life and how tough some life has to be to survive in the horrific elements. And you look down on the earth and it's amazing that we're even here, that we even exist, like human beings as we are, thinking about NASCAR, building racing engines, streaming on the internet, you know, singing songs, playing music, all that stuff, creating a great meal, drinking a bottle of wine, like all the amazing stuff that we get to enjoy and how wonderful the world is for all of us. Except for some people, it's just not. And is it their fault, or is it our fault, or is it nobody's fault? Like, who knows? And why can't we all get along, like Rodney King said after that deal went down? And why can't people just have a little sympathy for those people that aren't as, you know, as smart or as good looking or don't have it as good, and like try to help others? Or maybe they are. Maybe the why do people bother to steal? Why do people bother to commit crime? Why do people bother to hurt each other and belittle each other? Like, why does that all happen? And like, why can't we just sort that out? If we can figure out how to build ships and launch rockets and connect to a space station that's floating 250 miles above the Earth and look down upon ourselves and say, like, see ourselves, like, why can't we figure out this stuff? Why are we out there in the streets having to complain? Why are we launching tear gas at each other? Like, why is that happening? Why, what the hell? You know, I don't know. I don't know. But I know we're not going to solve it. And I think we, I don't know, think about it, I guess, is the best we can do right now. And have a little entertainment in between and be up on it. You know, we've got some great sponsors. I don't want to maybe mention our sponsors because, like, you know, this show's been controversial. But you'll hear about them tomorrow. Gio's shaking his head. I love being able to see Gio's distracted reaction. I don't need you to be here anymore now. As long as I could see that head shake, that's it. When Gio starts shaking his head, I know I've done something wrong. It's not controversial. But, they, you know, they sponsor NHRA Nitro. I'll mention Marvin. Marvin's my buddy. Marvin. And Frank Holly's Drag Racing School, let me tell you, they've done great things for us too. And Total Seal has been tremendous. Yeah, there's a reason to mention Total Seal. New Hidden Horsepower on Thursday morning, 8 a.m. Mark Cronquist. This is a blockbuster episode because he is the head engine builder at Joe Gibbs Racing to this day. And he and Lake Speed are the co-hosts, and I think it's a great episode. Like, if there was a, you know, I don't know if it's worth submitting to some sort of awards, but they definitely entertained me the three times that I've heard it now, because they're, you know, talking about things that they tried and things that they didn't try and things that happened. And the engine block, I'll give you one, like the engine, the material that the block is made of is so much harder now than it was, that it just fundamentally changed everything that they did. Like, oh my gosh, this thing is made of different stuff. And so they had to relearn everything. Just amazing stuff that's coming out. Hidden Horsepower, Total Skill, Thursday morning. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, etc. And, of course, samtech.edu will be doing podcasts for them as well. And that brings this edition to a close. Giovanni, great work. Appreciate it. Love catching up with you, man. We have fun. You know,
you always do.
You're never going to be here again, but that's okay. We got this now.
Nope. That's it. This is the way.
This is the way. And I think it's another one of the things. Like, here's one more thing. Golf is better post-coronavirus. Golf has been improved. This thing has been improved. The social, the streaming, golf has been improved. Before, when you played golf, a foursome would take out two carts. So Gio and I would be in a cart together. Not anymore. Now, everybody gets their own cart. So much better. You can spread out in the cart. It's like your own car. Throw stuff everywhere. When Gio hits the ball like 50 feet and I hit my ball 200 yards, do I have to go where Gio is? Nah, man, I go to my own thing. Who cares about him? I'm doing my own thing. Got my own cart. Golf has been improved because of this. And that I'm sure that's happening all over. Different technological advances, different advances, things where they wouldn't let you do that before, but now they got to let you do it. All of a sudden. So it's kind of, there was one thing where they used to want to touch something, and now, you know, I don't want them touching it. And now they don't touch it. So it was actually a better game. Golf is a better game. Anyway, that's going to do it. Thank you very much, all you WFO radio listeners out there. Really appreciate you. Follow, like, review. Remember, in the WFO radio app, you can watch the Happy Hour shows, the John Forrest show. Everything we stream is in the WFO radio app in the video section. Nobody ever goes to the video section, so you don't know it's there, but it's there. So check it out. Gio, thank you very much. See you next time. And everybody out
there,
bye. We'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.